Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com, as well as those of you watching on Facebook Live. Alongside Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. With you for the next 60 minutes as we'll be getting to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can't chime in via the phone. Well, you can interact with us on Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat. We certainly want to hear from you during the remainder of the program. We want to remind you Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free. Today, DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Joe Beningo from WFAN. We have a pre-recorded interview where he spoke with John Schmelk about Snacks Harrison. We will play that for you a little bit later on the program. And Paul and I will also get into the latest on the free agency front. We spent last week talking about a lot of the new arrivals. I was surprised, Paul. It seems as if free agency has slowed down a bit. This was a relatively quiet weekend.
Compared to what happened last week, I mean, you talk about dynamite. I mean, sticks were going up in flames everywhere the way free agency started out. But I think we all knew, because the way this thing usually does work is that there's going to be a lull after the initial wave. And then there's that second wave of guys, which tend to be a little bit more reasonably priced. Can I use that word, reasonably?
That's fair. Well, based on how the market plays out, we'll allow you.
And so that next level of free agency should be starting any time now. It does seem that based on the reports on the internet that Eric Weddle is going to be the primary target of the next wave of key free agents, supposedly making a decision today, if I read Twitter correctly. He's got it narrowed down to three or four teams. And so that's going to be the next kind of big tree to fall. And then I suspect there'll be some other guys going towards the middle of the week. I think for me, Lance, I think what I'm most interested in is we saw the first wave go. And, again, I'm going to be very careful with how I use the words. But many of those top nights guys really cashed in. I mean, really cashed in. Because there was so much available money. You knew a bunch of them were going to get overpaid.
Absolutely.
Now, I hesitate to use the word because technically the market is what sets your price. So are you really overpaid if that's what the market will pay? I get that. And so I don't want to get caught up in semantics. But the premier guys just got boatloads and boatloads of money. Now, are these second-level guys going to be more priced to where their value is? Or will some of those guys also get a little bit more overpaid because these are the guys who are left, and there's still a number of teams that have lots of money?
Well, and I think it comes down to the competition. That will depend on whether or not they're going to get more than perhaps their value is, or they're going to get what's even with what is still out there. I think that you have to take into consideration what you were alluding to, and I agree, Paul, there was a lot of money thrown around, but you know, keep in mind, the salary cap went up, and when the salary cap goes up, it's fair to assume that contracts are going to go up in conjunction with that.
Yeah, but the ratio was not equal.
Well, but remember, you had a lot of teams. I mean, the Jaguars had a lot of available money. The Raiders, the Giants obviously had some financial flexibility. And if you're competing with those fellow teams, you have to increase your offers if you want to walk away with those players. I mean, that's just basic economics right there.
I think the tough part about it is for a GM or a team that's really trying to enter the marketplace, what you like to be able to do is pay sticker price or something a little below if you can get a discount. But you certainly don't really want to pay much more above sticker price. And I think what we saw with a lot of these guys in the first wave of free agency, they were well above sticker price.
Well, but here's the thing. When you look back at the contract, and we're not going to be able to do that until 3 or 4 years down the road, is it more important that you get return and substance, or are you going to worry about how much you paid the player, I think, at the end?
You need to worry about production more than anything else.
That's what it comes down to. Now, it's premature right now. Nobody's got it on the field. So, I mean, we can speculate all we want, but I think when it's all said and done, depending on how these players pan out, you know, that's the true value, as opposed to how much of the salary cap did you use up. And I always say this, Paul, and you know this, the contract that a player signs in free agency, very rarely is that the exact contract and how the duration of the deal plays out.
That's true, too.
Because of how things are retweaked and so forth, guys rework their deals. the salary cap is going to increase in years moving forward based on the trend we've seen. That's why I think you got to put things in perspective and not so much look at it in a small box right now.
I think the thing, though, that you do have to be aware of is that when you make that big splash early and you do pay some of the high prices that are in the marketplace, anything you do on the back end of free agency is going to have to be very, very, very well thought out. And you're really not going to be able to reach in terms of grabbing guys at this stage of the game. You're going to have to pay sticker price or lower. You're going to have to get some bargains, if you will, if you're a team like the Giants that has made a big splash early. You're just not going to be able to continue to do those kinds of things as free agency develops.
Well, speaking of bargains or speaking of needs, perhaps, where the Giants may go now that we've finished the first wave of free agency, Paul, from at least a positional standpoint. They've addressed the defense, and that's not necessarily a surprise given where the defense finished up.
Not free safety yet.
Last season. Well, that's what I was going to get to. In terms of the other positions, safety, you think, is probably one of the first things that comes to mind.
I have to believe that they're still looking for a veteran safety. Now, again, that list has dwindled just a bit. There are still a few veterans out there who might be able to help some, but once Weddle falls, wherever he winds up landing, I think the rest of the guys will start to find homes, because he's the guy, I think, that's kind of holding up the plumbing a little bit, if you will. And so let's see how that shakes out today. And then I do think, quite frankly, the other thing that the Giants should do, if it were me, I would look for a veteran offensive lineman. And I would like to see an upgrade with the run-blocking offensive lineman at right tackle specifically. And so, you know, what the Giants wind up doing with that in the back end of free agency story means to be seen. There are a few tackles still available. And, again, I think there's probably one guy who's kind of holding up the plumbing on that one, too. So let's see how it falls.
Well, that's what happens. One domino falls, and then everybody else now looks for the other players that are still out there. I brought up the safeties first, and then we'll get to the right tackles, just to show you and give you a sense of what the market looks like right now. Tashawn Gibson was really the first domino to fall. He went from Cleveland to Jacksonville. We talked about the other player last week. Rodney McLeod went to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Another
from
prime
the Rams.
Guy.
Other than that, there wasn't a great deal of movement. I know this weekend, Christopher Conte re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So when you look at who's still out there, at least at that safety position, Walter Thurmond, who we've brought up,
who
was with the Giants, transitioned to safety with the Philadelphia Eagles last season. Then you look at Raheem Moore, who was released by the Houston Texans. He was with the Denver Broncos a few years back. He's another player that's out there. Reggie Nelson, right behind Eric Weddle in terms of that veteran presence with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, it's interesting, Paul. The Bengals re-signed George Iloka.
Yes.
They had two safeties that were set to hit the market. Iloka, they gave a five-year deal. The question is, are they interested in re-signing Reggie Nelson, or is he actually going to hit the market and change teams?
I think Nelson is changing teams. And obviously, Iloka was a lot younger than Nelson, which
Correct.
Is the reason the Bengals really wanted to hold on to him. I think we mentioned Bruton the other day from the Broncos.
He did bring him up
as well. Another guy in that cluster of players who you would think is looking for a home.
Roman Harper, James Ahedibo, these are other veterans that are out there.
Yeah, but that's not an attractive
out.
List. Right
Sean
there. When
Richardson.
You start getting to the next level down, that's like the sea level. You don't want to go there.
Now, here's another name that I haven't heard brought up too much. William Moore from the Atlanta Falcons, who signed actually a big deal not too long ago. He's actually a free agent. I haven't heard his name brought up.
He's got a lot of miles on his tires.
Does have some mileage, and he is 30. But he's not necessarily in that same age bracket where the other veterans are that we brought up who are a little bit higher
I will
up
say this. A few years ago, he was one of the premier safeties in the conference. You know, now how much does he have left? I don't know the answer to that. You would like to believe that if he still had some good football in him, the Falcons would have at least tried to do something with him, even if it was going to be at a smaller number. That doesn't seem to be the case. Investigate? Yeah, potentially investigate. I probably would put him on the fringe between that B and C level in terms of the guys still left.
Now, you brought up right tackle. Mitchell Schwartz was the first domino to fall.
Chiefs.
He went to the Chiefs from the Browns. Bobby Massey went from the Cardinals to the Chicago Bears. Bryce Harris re-signed with the Falcons, and Alvin Bailey went from the Seahawks to the Browns. So when you look at who's out there right now, mm-hmm. Andre Smith comes to mind from the Cincinnati Bengals, and probably the second guy I would put on the list, Don Barclay, the veteran from the Green Bay Packers. Those are the two that I think would come to mind there.
Penn is out there. Okun is out there.
They list Okung, though, as the left tackle, even though you probably could put him at both spots.
You know, I think that's the tricky part, too. The tricky part about the tackle spot is how many of these veteran tackles who are out there are going to say, well, I'm really a left guy or I'm really a right guy, and I don't want to be flopping from either side. Some guys don't want to do that. Let's make that very clear. Not everybody's David Deal. You know, David Deal's like, put me wherever you want to put me, and I'm fine with it. I just want to play. Not everybody's like that. There are some guys who have a mindset that, hey, this is where I belong, and this is where I'm going to be, and you're going to pay me commensurate with that position, and I'm not moving anywhere else. Some guys are like that, and I will tell you that as I start looking at the list of veteran tackles still available, that's the question that I have, is which one of these guys is agreeable to moving positions? For example, Penn played left tackle with the Raiders. Is he agreeable to maybe playing right tackle for a team that needs a starting right tackle? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, and I throw Okung in the same department because he's another guy like that. Left tackle for the Seattle Seahawks. Is he willing to go to the right side? Sometimes the team is interested, but the player doesn't necessarily
Absolutely.
Want to move there.
Two and then the player says, well, I'm a left tackle, and I want to be paid like a left tackle, and so don't even think about moving me to the right side, but if you do, well, pay me like I'm playing left.
So you still want to be paid on the left side, but you get moved to the right.
It gets tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why there's sort of the financials that you have to work into the equation when you evaluate, you know, who's coming in and who's going out. But that's at least to give you what the landscape looks like right now in terms of the safety position as well as the right tackle, two positions that perhaps the Giants may look into as we move along here in free agency.
Yeah, because I still believe those are the two spots where you'd like to get a free agent veteran in as opposed to a rookie. I think the learning curve makes it a little tough.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat. For those of you watching on Facebook Live, we're now going to move the program over solely to Giants.com. So hopefully you'll join us on the Giants website as we continue the conversation right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. So we welcome in everybody here on Giants.com. And one of the things that we want to bring to your attention that has launched today is Giants.com/bracket. Where the Giants, in the tone of March Madness, have now launched a bracket style where you can go and vote, and it's the top first-round draft picks in the history of the franchise, and you can go to the website right now, and it's got a variety of different matchups, and you can head out there and vote, and there are certainly plenty of players that Paul has seen come through the ranks over the course of the history of this franchise. Anybody jump out at you in terms of the bracket matchups here, Paul? Because I know how excited you are about these matchups, but I figured I'd put you on the spot here.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the different generations of Giants fans will think differently about some of these players than some other folks will. And, you know, look, I'm not giving anything away when you say to yourself, well, let's see, first-round picks. Lawrence Taylor, Odell Beckham, Phil Sims, you know, if you include Eli Manning as a first-round pick because he was involved in that draft day trade with the Chargers. You know, there are clearly guys over the course of the last 30 or 40 years who younger fans will gravitate to immediately. The older fans, you know, they may sense a little bit of nostalgia when they start talking about the Kyle Rhodes and the Tucker Fredricksons and those kinds of guys. So it's going to be a fun vote, although, you know, if you're strictly looking at production, I think it's pretty clear who the top guys should be. But nonetheless, I do think it's going to be a fun exercise to go through.
So certainly when you have an opportunity, check that out, Giants.com/bracket, and a number of first-round matchups out there, wide receivers, linebackers. You got a mixture of all positions that went in the first round in Giants history, some recent guys also as well as some historical players. So we'll keep you updated on that front over the course of the program as well as the vote comes in here throughout the course of March. All right, let's open up the phone lines, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat, and we start things off with Dash in Ohio. Dash, what's happening?
What's going on, John?
No, it's Lance, but it's okay. Who's counting? So.
I was calling. I wanted to ask as far as I see we've been quiet since the first day of free agency with the big pickups. So I've been trying to get in contact with y'all since last week. Say, pickups, I like those. Any word on offense side, as far as offensive line, wide receiver, or anything. And also, I wanted to ask about any chance as far as Reuben Randle, as far as he's still open and available, and all the wide receivers that were available are all off the board now. So, is there any possibility that the Giants looking at Randle bringing him back?
I haven't seen Reuben Randle's name come up on the internet as far as taking any visits so far since free agency opened. So I do think, yes, he's still out there. And, you know, I think the Giants would like to upgrade if at all possible. Otherwise, they would have made him a high priority to re-sign. That doesn't mean he won't come back. There may be a situation where, hey, you know what? We talked about this the other day on the show. Alex Henry, the wide receivers coach at LSU, who was there when Randle and Beckham were there, has since been hired by the Giants. They believe that he will add to the luster and the polish of Beckham. There's certainly a possibility that he could add to the luster and the polish of Reuben Randle. That's not out of the question. I don't know if ultimately that's what's going to happen, but I wouldn't rule it out right now.
It's certainly a possibility, depending on how the market plays out. You look at the wide receivers that have been taken off the board, Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu from the Bengals. They both changed teams. Travis Benjamin, who's also a special teamer, he went from Cleveland to San Diego. Rishard Matthews joined Tennessee from Miami. And then the Seahawks recently re-signed Jermaine Kearse, and Brian Quick re-signed with the Rams. So, you know, the guys that are left over right now, you know, there's not necessarily a true number one wideout, if that's who you're looking for. There's some complementary pieces, but I think the top names at this point in the free agent market have already signed new contracts.
Right. And as far as the wide receivers, it's a lot of over 30 as far as you think. As I was looking at any of the receivers as far as Roddy White or Andre Johnson, or I think there's one more out there as well that's over 30. I can't think of right now. I know it's Roddy White, Andre Johnson, and another name.
Well, you got
Marcus Colston. Any of those receivers they would possibly look at as far as age or experience-wise?
Well, Marcus Colston is another one over 30. Anquan Boldin. Mike Wallace is just below 30. There's a number of veterans out there if they certainly wanted to bring in, you know, somebody who has experience. But remember, a lot of the times it depends on the veteran. Some of these veterans, if this is their last hurrah, they may want to go to a team where there's much more of an opportunity as opposed to being a second or third tier wide receiver. So I think a lot of it depends on the player. And, you know, if you look at what the Giants have right now with Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz, who is now working to get back to full strength, it seems to me, Paul, as if the right complement would be a bigger wideout in terms of frame that you could use on the outside as opposed to bringing in somebody who could play the slot who you really have at this point.
Yeah, I think that the Giants are in a little bit of a unique situation, though, because they don't really know what Cruz brings to the table at this point. So they may, in fact, need a slot guy. We don't know the answer to that.
Well, would Dwayne Harris, though, fit that bill?
Dwayne Harris is a guy I think they want to get back on the special teams because they saw how much it hurt his wide receiver production. You know, he was doing both. And then they needed him to be more of a wide receiver, and they had to pull him off specials. I think Dwayne Harris, to me, is a great number four. He's an okay three, but that takes a lot of juice out of him. I think you really want him to be a four because in that role where it's much more limited, he can be the special teams demon on all of the special teams. They hurt themselves, but they had no choice when he had to become one of their primary wide receivers. I mean, he was brought here primarily, even though he does it all, to be a special teams demon, not only on the return game, but also as a gunner.
All four teams.
And they lost something there when they had to pull him off and make him their third or second receiver. That was a bad thing.
Well, he became an every down wide receiver. But I guess what I'm saying is, assuming you have more options, he can go back to that complementary role, and then he can still focus on the four special
but
teams.
But to do that, you've got to know that there's a bona fide two and a three in front of him so that he can be a four. Right now, who are the Giants' twos and threes? We think Victor Cruz is going to be one of those, but we're not 100% sure. We're really not. So I do think that the Giants need to bring a wide receiver in. Now, it's not a great wide receiver for the draft, a wide receiver draft. We know that, okay? So what do they do? Well, do they go and get one of these second-tier wide receivers? I think you probably have to, but now are you thinking more the big guy who's going to be the two, the possession guy, the guy who goes over the middle, the guy who gives Eli a big target because that complements Beckham, or are you going to say, well, we think Cruz is going to be good enough to be a two again, even though he's not a big guy, he makes big plays, and we really need to go get a slot guy? I'm not sure where the Giants are with that right now.
Well, if you had to choose between the two, as I mentioned, I would lean towards the bigger guy who you can use in the red zone and line up on the outside. Because Beckham, remember, you can always move him into the slot, too, if need be.
You could.
He's got that versatility to play multiple positions
you
when
could.
He lines up. And I agree with you, Paul, that you know Victor Cruz right now is
we
still a question mark.
We just don't
know. So you have to have insurance there. But I think that you have more players right now on the roster, as it stands, that I think could play on the inside as opposed to maybe line up on the outside.
See, the one thing that the Giants have had, and we don't know exactly where Larry Donnell stands, because of his ability to catch the ball as a receiving tight end, he does provide that 6'5" target. He does provide that big target in the passing game that you're talking about that maybe you'd like to have a receiver provide. Donnell, when the Giants went four wides, when he was healthy, he was in the slot as the fourth stand-up. So, you know, they got a lot of ways they can mix and match here. I'm not sure where the priority is. Maybe the priority should just be, look, if we can get a good veteran receiver who's is still in free agency, we should just get him regardless of what position he plays because we just need another quality guy to provide depth at the spot.
Consistency. Guy
Maybe
make
that's
plays.
The best way to go.
And that's not necessarily a bad option when you look at things. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Jeff is in Wisconsin. Jeff, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well, Jeff. How's things with you?
Doing good, doing good. Just calling to see how you feel about us going in the draft. Just because I'm thinking we're sitting at 10. I have to believe that if Ronnie Stanley is sitting there at 10, you got to pick him, right?
I'm a big Stanley guy, and again, I'm delving big time into my draft stuff starting this week. But I agree with you. My preliminary list over the last month has had Stanley in my handful, my cluster. You know, I've had Shaq Lawson in that cluster. I've got Stanley in that cluster. There are guys who I'd like to be in there who are not going to make it. For example, the Florida State DB is not going to get in there, Ramsey.
That'd be surprising.
He's not going to get down there. I wish he was, but he's not going to. Bosa's not going to get down there. You know, there are guys who we know are not going to make it down to 10. You're pretty sure not going to make it. But, yes, I do think that Lawson's a possibility, even though they've signed defensive linemen. I do think that Stanley's a possibility for sure. I'd love to see Miles Jack get down there because that would be a no-brainer. But he's not going to make it down there. Do you think about Ragland? Ragland's a guy who's kind of floating around in the back of my mind too. But yes, well, I'm with you. Stanley's a solid pick.
Well, one name I kept hearing thrown around was Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott.
I wouldn't do it.
Honestly, I don't want him. If anything, I take Alex Collins in the second round. At Arkansas, that guy is a stud back.
I understand, you know, and I said this the other day, that I'd be open to picking anybody who's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber player except a quarterback at number 10. And I think philosophically, you have to stand by that type of framework. However, personally speaking, I would not take Ezekiel Elliott. I would rather go somewhere else or trade the pick. Now, if the Giants think that he's that much better than everybody else on the board at 10, if he's just got a huge grade advantage, then you could obviously understand their logic and you couldn't criticize them for taking him if he's got that much of a difference in the grade.
There's a big disparity from Elliott, you're saying, with the other
If there
prospect.
Is.
And
I don't know if there
that,
is.
Of course, we don't know what their
But
board
if there
looks
is,
like.
You would understand the logic.
But I think, at least from the roster standpoint, right now I think there's four options in the backfield. Whether you mix and match or you have one guy emerge as a workhorse, that's more than suitable with improvement from the offensive line to have a consistent running game.
I would think
as
so.
As it stands right now.
I would think so.
You mentioned Miles Jack falling. Do you think that if somehow people are that scared of Jalen Smith that he either drops into the lower second or even all the way to our early third, do you think Jerry Reese takes that risk? Plays up into the second?
I'm a big fan of his. How could you not be? I think he would have been one of the top three players taken in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard NFL people say to me they wouldn't even touch him till the third day. Because there is a lot of disputes about medically where he stands, not just with the knee, but also with his ankle, which there were some reports out of the combine that he's got multiple injuries to his lower body, not just the knee. If that's the case, it's hard to see him going before the fourth round. Now, if someone has medical evidence that indicates he's much better off than some of these other reports say, maybe you do take him in the second or the third. I don't know that anybody takes him in the first.
I'd be surprised if somebody takes a chance on him in the first.
I think so, yeah. He's either I predict him going mid-third around there. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If he's sitting there at our third pick, it's for a team that's trying to – I don't know. I don't know where I'd stand. It's not my decision, thankfully.
Well, I mean, it really depends on how his medical records check out according to how the teams are looking at it. If he's not scheduled to play the entire season, you have to wonder, you know, are you willing to sacrifice a draft pick on a player that probably is not going to suit up in 2016. If you're not willing to do that, then obviously there's no sense in taking that player. If you're willing to then invest in that player and thinking 3 years following we draft him, we can get production out of him, then I can see the value. But, you know, right now that depends on the mindset of the Giants front office.
Well, the issue is the problem is it's nerve damage. If it was a muscle tear, you can get a clear diagnosis. Because it's nerves in that knee, we don't really know what we're going to be dealing with.
Which is why there's a huge risk. And I'm sure that's something that a lot of the teams are going to weigh before using even a third-round pick. And a third-round pick is extremely valuable. There's a lot of starters and quality players that have come out of the third round. It's not as if it's a throwaway round. That's why you can't necessarily take huge risks from that standpoint. And appreciate the phone call, Jeff. Thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. He's Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for tuning in to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. And remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, let's head back to the lines. We got Johnny in Montreal. Johnny, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
Doing well, Johnny.
Good, good. Quick question. Just wondering if you guys think there's enough cap room to maybe make a push for Eric Weddle at free safety.
Oh, boy. You know, he's been on the top of my free safety depth chart for quite a long time in this whole free agency period. And it doesn't sound like it based on what's coming out of the Weddle camp these days. He's got it narrowed down, apparently, to three or four teams, and will make a decision today. And I haven't heard any rumblings that connects him to the Giants at all, which makes me believe that that's not going to happen.
Okay. As of right now, is on the depth chart, is Craig Dahl right now the strong safety and Collins the free safety, or who are the starters right now? Do you know?
Craig Dahl's a free agent. So Craig Dahl's not under contract. Yeah.
Is Nat Burhey still on the team?
Yeah, Nat Burhey still on the team. Yep.
Okay, so who's starting at free safety right now?
I think Nat Burhey and Bennett Jackson are probably the two guys that are going to get opportunities, at least in the early stages of the spring, just as they did in training camp before they got hurt. I would think those are the two first guys up, given the fact that they had the opportunities prior to getting hurt.
Okay, and like weak side backer, are we okay right now, or?
Well, JT Thomas is the weak side linebacker at the moment, and he is signed.
Correct.
So, and Jonathan Casillas is behind him, and he is also signed. So I don't know that, you know, they're heavily in the market for somebody there. I mean, you never know what could happen, but I think that's of the three linebacker spots, they've at least got two guys there who have played. You know, it's a little thin right now at middle linebacker, and it's a little thin at strong side right behind Kennard.
Okay. Do you think the Giants should make a move on Laurinaitis, assuming that he can clear a physical?
Well, you know, he's been out there now for a couple of weeks, and depending upon which web report you want to read, and some are very sketchy, to say the least, right, Lance? I don't believe that I've heard any legitimate connection to him visiting here. And again, look, I would say this. Steve Spagnuolo, with his history with the Rams, I'm sure they've done due diligence, and I asked them to when Laurinaitis came available. I said on this program, I'd make a phone call, I'd check it out, and I'm sure they have. I'm thinking that if they really liked what they heard, we probably would have heard something by now, or he would have visited this team by now. My suspicion is that wasn't a good fit. Otherwise, why would he still be on the street?
Well, I believe, Johnny, that he's actually in the process of setting up visits, at least from what I read and what I've seen on social media. So I don't even know if he has yet to even talk seriously with any teams. This may be the beginning of the free agent process for him, even though he was let go prior to the start of free agency.
You would have thought it would have been a little quicker, though.
You would have, but, you know, Chris Long has been quiet on that front, too, and he was let
go
at the
same time
with Laurinaitis.
It makes a little bit of a difference.
Well, Laurinaitis has been durable. He hasn't missed a game, so I think that's what makes him attractive. But if he's just first starting the free agency period, I don't think, you know, anybody's necessarily behind the eight ball at this point. It's just a matter of he was sort of testing the waters before he went heavy on the visit front.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate the time, guys. Have a great day.
You got it, Johnny. Thanks so much for weighing in. One other thing that certainly want to throw out there, which is related to the Giants, but two players have signed deals who were with the Giants last season, and it's important that we at least note that. The Jacksonville Jaguars have signed Prince Amukamara, so he will not be returning to the Giants, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed Robert Ayers. So two key contributors from last year's defense are off the market, and they will be joining two teams in Florida, in case you did not see that late Friday and over the course of the weekend. Let's head back to the phone lines, and speaking of Florida, Mark is in Tampa. Mark, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Go blue. Go blue. Just wanted to touch base on the special teams. I know we were just talking about Harris, and with Jenkins' pickup, I know he's a returner as well. Is that something that they'll maybe incorporate, or if you were to suggest in the draft, who would be key guys? I know Giants tend to try to get returners and receivers. Who would you kind of go after?
Well, in terms of returners, I mean, assuming they add some depth at wide receiver, Dwayne Harris is your main return guy. I don't think they're going to eliminate him from the equation. You mentioned Jenkins. Jenkins returned punts his rookie year with the Rams. Since then, he hasn't been used on the return front. However, with that being said, the Rams brought in a guy named Tavon Austin, so they didn't really need Jenkins to do much. I think Jenkins could be a security blanket in the return game, and if they bring in another wide receiver, potentially, I think that could serve as insurance. But I don't know if there's an overwhelming need right now, Mark, when I look at the roster for somebody to specifically return the football. If anything, you want to probably add players who are going to be good on the coverage front, who can play either defense and special teams or offense and special teams. That, I think, would potentially be a target. Like a Jonathan Casillas, for example, who you know is very reliable on special teams, and he could also provide some depth on defense.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to the season, and I hope we do well in the draft. I appreciate your time, guys.
You got it, Mark, and thanks so much for making the phone call. Appreciate you chiming in. Sticking with the Florida trend, Peter is in Florida. Peter, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing? Disappointed that they did not re-sign Ayers. I really liked him. I thought, you know, he was a good player. I'm also looking at why or when they're going to do something with the tight end position, because me personally, I'm not crazy about Larry Donnell. I mean, you never know what you're going to get from game to game. So I think they need a really excellent tight end who can block for the run. And my last question, I love Eli Manning, but he's getting old in the tooth. Is it possible that the Giants are going to be looking for somebody upstream to sit behind Eli for a year or so? Or do you think the guy we've got now from Syracuse, you think he's going to be the quarterback of the future? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks for the phone
call.
Thank
you, sir. All right, three questions. Which ones do you want?
Well, why don't you start with the quarterback? That was the last
one. Is the easy one. Eli Manning has proven to be durable. He's still in his prime, even though he's on the back end of his prime. Again, I've stated this before, and I just don't really know how many more times I want to get into it. Maybe you didn't hear it on one of the other shows. Eli's deal, multi-year deal moving forward, the way it's structured, he's here for at least 2 years as the Giants franchise quarterback, maybe longer if things go well. They can always restructure the deal, or maybe they just decide that the deal is good the way it is and they keep him for the remainder of the deal. So Eli's not going anywhere, and they are absolutely determined that he's going to be the guy who gets them back into the playoffs again. So I personally would go with Ryan Nassib for this year as his backup, and I wouldn't even think about getting another guy in here to either challenge Nassib or to replace Nassib should he want to fly the coop until next season. That's my take on that. Do you want to take the tight ends or Robert Ayers?
I'll take the tight ends real quickly, and then I'm sure you could add more to that. The only thing I was going to add to the Eli Manning thing, I agree with you. I mean, when you look at priorities right now, I don't think that would be the number one priority, given the fact that Eli Manning just signed the contract, looking for the next QB after him.
And he's come off two really terrific seasons.
And he's just getting a feel and flow for Ben McAdoo's offense. Remember, it's only been 2 years under the offense. So when you take that into consideration, I think there's more upside there as opposed to closing the door on Eli.
By the way, the second generation of Eli under Coach McAdoo, how good could he be if they actually had a strong, consistent power running game?
Well, it'll balance the offense out. It's pretty scary to think that way, and that's obviously the goal entering this season, because there have been times, you're right, since McAdoo took over and Manning's been working on the offense where it's been pass-heavy as opposed to consistency on the ground. That's obviously, like I said, goal number one with this upcoming season, depending on how things play out with the offensive line in the backfield. As far as the tight ends are concerned, you know, I've brought this up time and time again, and I'll even say I think it's related to the safety spot. From what Jerry Reese said at the Combine press conference, Paul, he seems to be very high, the team as a whole, on the young options at both positions, where if you read between the dots and connect them, it seems as if they want to give these players as much of an opportunity to claim starting jobs as opposed to maybe bringing in and making a splash outside. And I think that's true for the Bennett Jacksons of the world, the Nat Burhays of the world, as well as the Larry Donnells of the world, the Will Ties, Matt Lacoste, who we know gets you all excited every time I just say Matt on this program. So when you take that into consideration, on a serious note, I think they're going to do everything they can to allow these young players to assume and grab these opportunities and develop before maybe they go out and bring in more and more veterans.
It does appear that way, because they certainly didn't get trigger happy going after a tight end in free agency.
And I think if you look at Will Tye showed a lot in terms of his ability to run routes and play on offense. He'd like to see what he could do in terms of his blocking.
And he catches the ball pretty well.
Correct, absolutely. No doubt about that. You know, Matt Lacoste, if you look at what he did in college, he was used as an H-back a lot, Paul.
Yeah.
Based on what they utilized him in terms of the collegiate level. And then Larry Donnell, you know, mainly has been used as an offensive weapon. Blocking is one of the areas that he needs to improve moving forward. So, you know, based on what the call just alluded to, I wouldn't disagree in terms of when you look at the tight ends, one area you certainly want to bolster is the ability to block and the ability to have a little bit more consistency out of that position. That's not a stretch at all.
And quite honestly, it's always possible that if you're going to add a blocking tight end, there's not a high premium on those guys. You may be able to get one later on in the spring, even in the summer, even in training camp. You may be able to get a, quote, blocking tight end to supplement and round out the position. So I don't think there's a high priority on trying to get one right now.
I would agree with you. The last one was Robert Ayers.
Robert Ayers, career season. You guys know I'm a fan. I thought he brought a lot to the table. I would like to have seen the Giants bring him back. The problem is the way the money got skewed in free agency and the priorities that they had, it would have been hard for them, I think, to do the kind of deal that he got with Tampa Bay just the other day. I just don't think those numbers would have been possible. And there's also that caveat, and we've talked about this a lot of times on the show, and it's one of the reasons I kind of wanted Ayers and JPP together, was that when JPP came back, Ayers had sacks in six straight games to close out the season. But in some way, you could also look at that and say, well, that's a limitation for him, because it shows you that he was a secondary pass rusher, not a primary pass rusher. I think the Buccaneers have signed him to be a primary guy.
Oh, absolutely. It's a need for the Tampa Bay pass rush if you look at what happened last season.
You follow it, it's a little bit of a different thing. You're looking at him as a secondary pass rusher. You like him, you want him, but there's another team that says he's going to be our guy. Well, that's a different value system.
And this is the other thing that I'll always add, and I say this, while there may have been interest to bring him back, remember, it's a two-way stream here. The player you just mentioned, if another team was offering him more of an opportunity, now that the Giants have JPP and Olivier Vernon, he may have wanted to go to a team where he's going to be that every single down
and get paid accordingly.
And defensive tackle, exactly, as opposed to the complementary rotational type of player. So you have to take that into consideration when you evaluate why the player ultimately left. It may have been him more so than what the team wanted.
And you know what? I'm a big Robert Ayers guy, but he's not going to get 15 sacks. That's not what he is. You know, that's not what he is.
That's not what he is. However, you can't overlook the fact that depth on the defensive line is important.
Sure it is.
I mean, that cannot be overlooked. If you look at, and I bring this up all the time, what the Panthers did, the Broncos, the Seahawks, it's all about having five or six options that you can rotate in. Ayers is attractive no matter how you use him on a team, because you can move him inside and you could also play him on the outside.
Well, that's one of the reasons why.
Don't look so sad. Don't look so sad. Yes, you have.
it.
I was waiting for the Bob Papa appearance. I was waiting
the Papa
for
the Papa cast.
Yes.
Makes a live appearance on Big Blue Kickoff Live. How about that?
We're going to do a Papa's perspective live
tomorrow. On the program.
Well, before your program.
Before the program. Okay.
Very nice.
Good stuff.
Hey, you got a good guest coming up.
We do indeed. Yes.
See, I knew before.
Well, we teased it off the top, Bob, but Bob teased it too as well.
Okay. Thanks, Bobby.
Yes, actually, we have another guest that he's referring to, so I take that back. Bob actually does know more than we do on
this
program.
Favorites.
I am Sam.
Yes.
One of my favorites.
There you go. He wasn't lying. Bob had more of the intel than we did on this program. You see, we're so delving into the ins and outs of what's going on in the discussion.
Glad that our producers give us a heads up
on all this stuff.
Yes, I
know. It's lovely in terms of the dynamics
that go
on.
This would have made me a happy man, like, so earlier today. I would have woke up with a smile.
So just to
Is he on now? Get him up on the line.
Absolutely.
Well, get him up on the line.
A former Giant who Paul DeTino's getting very excited, and we've had him on the program before. Former Giant secondary member, Sam Madison.
The man responsible for the Sam Cam.
Definitely, man. I'm in the house, man. Always up to something, man. Good to be on with you guys again.
Oh, Sam, it is so good for you to call in. Thank you so much. Hey, you know what? But before I ask you about the beautiful weather down there, because, you know, it's kind of 40s and chilly and rainy and windy here in New York, you got to give me some of that Sam flavor as to what Olivier Vernon's going to bring to this Giants team.
Hey, man, you know, this is one of those guys where, you know, like the course of the offseason already, you know, on our Finsider show, I always talked about Olivier wouldn't be a Miami Dolphins. And the reason why is, you know, he is one of those special pass rushers, and, you know, he was going to demand the big money because of the things that he can do. But this is a guy for the last 4 years for the Miami Dolphins. He's been there for them all 16 weeks in every last one of those contests. You know, his biggest year was his second year playing opposite of Cameron Wake. You know, of course, Wake is always going to get that double team. But, you know, this guy, his motor is always running, and he falls into a whole lot of plays. You know, he has that get off, and he's able to get down in low center of gravity. But you don't have to worry about around 12:30, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning either. You didn't know where he's going to be. Mm-hmm. Somewhere where distraction off of the football field as well.
Well, Sam, you just brought up the fact that he was combined with Cameron Wake to really provide a nice 1-2 punch in Miami, but I think what really jumped off the page with respect to him is the fact that Wake gets hurt last season, and then Vernon's production really skyrockets when he was really the main pass rusher. So I think it says a lot about his upside and the fact that he's only 25 years old. From what you've seen, you know, what was impressive about that late stretch when Wake went down and Vernon had to be the main pass rusher for this Miami front?
Well, you know, it was a lot of things that went into that, but when they did have to get in pass for situations, you know, he was able to keep that one block because everybody still had to turn opposite of him because we still have Ndamukong Suh in the middle of the football field. So you get those one-on-one matchups. But, you know, throughout the course of the season, you know, Cameron Wake goes down. A couple more of our defense ends go down. A couple of our tackles are being cut. And, you know, we really have a run-stopping linebacking core that really, you know, had opportunity to contrast with this defensive line being able to put the pressure. So there was a lot of running going on, you know, toward the end of the year. But, you know, when it comes time and he has that one-on-one situation, and now being that you guys got JPP back playing opposite of Olivier Vernon, that's going to be a really good tandem because now JPP, I don't care what the situation is, he still knows how to get to the quarterback and create pressure, and that is where Olivier Vernon is going to come opposite and be able to clean that thing up because of the pressure that he's going to allow. So it's going to be fun. He's going to be a young, energetic guy. He's not one of the guys that's going to run his mouth like me, and that's why you always have me on the show. But he's definitely going to be one of those guys that you can go to and depend on, even in win-loss situations.
Sam, I got to ask you, though, something. I want to build off your first response about him. You said he's a good guy. You know what he's about. You know where he's going to be. You're not going to have any trouble with him. This is a Giants team, and you know what the Giants' way is. You understand what it means to be a Giant. Heck, you're a Super Bowl champion with this franchise. How well will he mesh with the Giant way? It sounds like he's a good fit, but also the Giants are in need of leadership and chemistry because they're rebuilding this defense. There's going to be a ton of new faces in this locker room, specifically on defense, and it looks like, by the way, they've attacked free agency, a lot of them are going to be older kind of players. So how, what kind of role does he fit into in the locker room besides being a really good player?
You know, like I said, he's not going to be screaming across the locker room, you know, and really, you know, create ruckus in there. He's going to run guys that's going to be the guys, man, you know, once you tone it down, there's this, that, and other, you know, get ready, man, you know, and, you know, understand that way he fits right in. You know, having that opportunity to be up on the coach covering and understand that the mayor's going to take business, guess what? He's always going to be first class, just like New York Giants. And, you know, when you put him into that locker room, man, he's been in situations of having veterans throughout the course of his time out here and able to see the negative stuff and still be able to fight through it and still be able to go to those practices and perform in the games as well. You know, being able to put guys in there is going to be very easy. The transition is going to be easy. You know, this guy has been around this Dolphins organization for a very long time. Even when he was coming up in the youth sports, you know, he was there and we were coaching him and grooming him because of our Dolphins Academy. So not only going from the Dolphins Academy, going to the University of Miami, and also being drafted by the Miami Dolphins, you know, he's been groomed in that situation. He has some really good people around him, you know, making sure that he does the things the correct way as well. So it just was really, you know, fun for me, you know, understanding and knowing the history, leaving the Miami Dolphins after a very good career and then going to a franchise like Miami Dolphins to see Olivier Vernon land up there. I know he's going to be in good hands, and you guys got a really good and productive there.
Talking with Sam Madison, who helped the Giants win Super Bowl 42, former Giants corner, now does on-air work for the Miami Dolphins. When you look at the Giants' defensive line and JPP and even some of your former teammates, Sam, one of the things that the Giants always pride themselves in is finding defensive linemen that are versatile, that can get to the quarterback but also can stop the run. From what you've seen out of Olivier Vernon, everybody looks at his sack numbers, his quarterback hits, but how is he in terms of stopping the run? Because obviously that's another important entity when you're a defensive lineman.
Yeah, definitely going to be one of those entities where you pretty much, you know, always going to have to look at when you're going into a division like that NFC East, you know, bigger bodies, love to run the ball, Dallas Cowboys, as well as the Washington Redskins have those bigger linemen, you know, trying to attack him. Really, it was a learning experience for him, but toward that end, like you said, his production did pick up at the end because now not having Cameron on the other side and having Ndamukong Suh on the opposite side at that left tackle, the majority of the runs and all the slide protection went that way. So, you know, he did have to learn on the side, but he got better at it. So I go back and I look at the times that I played and having guys like Barry Colefield and Fred Robbins in the middle, knowing that those guys have the speed to get up the middle, but those balls are outside. He has the quickness and he is strong enough to be able to wrap those guys up and definitely be able to anchor down when it comes time for them to run and power the game over to his side. So he's versatile. You'll be able to use him on the right side or the left side, and when production really picked up for him, he was lined up majority of the time or at that left defensive inside. Not really sure how the Giants are going to utilize it, but either or, you can put him in those situations, he'll still be able to figure it out. And Coach Steve Spagnuolo, you know, I know he knows how to figure things out and put guys in a position to win because he's been around people of them, i.e. Ofi Umeyor. These guys weren't his type of defensive end, but they were able to make plays because of their smarts and their quickness. That's the same Olivier is going to bring for that defensive end spot now.
Great stuff, Sam. It is always great to have you on the program. I'm so glad you called in. That was quite a surprise.
Yeah, man, you know, y'all are really cool guys out there. They will have to get in touch with me, and they definitely did. And I'm meeting, and I looked at the phone. I'm like, I got to call this guy back. That's my man. He always take care of me. So I right up as soon as I saw a call. But thank you for having me, man. Always great.
You got it, Sam, and we greatly appreciate the time and the insight. Sam Madison, former Giants corner who helped the team win Super Bowl 42 against the New England Patriots, who does on-air work for the Dolphins, so providing some insight on Olivier Vernon, who is the latest defensive end to sign with the team.
And what I really liked about it was he could give us some background on Vernon as a locker room guy and an off-the-field guy, because when we heard him on the conference call the other day when he signed with the Giants, he impressed me as a guy who seems to have it all together, who understands the Giants tradition, respects the Giants tradition, and wants to come here to prove not only that he's worthy of his status, but that he's worthy of being part of the rebuilding and the Giants' return to being one of the quality defenses in this league. He seems like that's a challenge he wants to be a part of, and Sam's positive reflection on Vernon's time as a player and as a person with the Dolphins, to me, just reinforces everything that I thought I heard in that conference call. So that's good stuff.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. We're going to get to your phone calls in a second here, but we've got a jam-packed show now with the addition of Sam Madison. As we teased earlier, John Schmelk had an opportunity to chat with WFAN radio host Joe Beningo, and he covered the ins and outs of Damon Snacks Harrison and what he'll bring to the New York Giants.
Now we're joined by WFAN's Joe Beningo, and of course, Joe, you won't find anybody much more familiar with Snacks Harrison than this guy. And Joe, tell me your take as a Jet fan watching Harrison over the years. What are the Giants getting from him as a defensive tackle?
Well, you know, first of all, obviously I'm not thrilled about this move, but that's we don't want to get into that. We want to talk about what he's going to be for your team. Look, the guy was tremendous last year. He was one of the best, run-stuffing tackles in football. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I know Todd Bowles loved him. Todd Bowles heaps very little praise on anybody and certainly did that on Damon Harrison. So I think it's a great, you know, if you look at that from the Giant point of view, it's obviously a great move for them. I think he should be an outstanding player. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to rush the passer, but he's a guy that's going to, you know, really help a team that was, 24th, I think, overall against the run last year. So yeah, he'll clearly help them in that regard, no doubt about it.
All right, Joe, now let's look at it a little bit from a Jets perspective. What does having a guy like that in the middle of your defense, what did that do for the Jets defense last year, and how does not having him going to adversely affect that team?
Well, we go back to what I just said. I mean, they were one of the best teams against the run, you know, all year. I think they averaged under, I think it was 3.6 yards a carry, one of the lowest in the league. And I think that not only, you know, what he does to stuff that middle up and take off, you know, probably take on two blockers all the time, he freed it up for Muhammad Wilkerson to have a huge year. You know, Muhammad had a tremendous year, 12.5 sacks, and the Jets should get that done. But that's for another story and for another day. But, you know, I think he really freed it up, you know, for a guy like him to have a big year. And, you know, was one of the keys, if not the big key, to the Jets being as good as they were stopping the run last year.
Overall, your take on the Giants' early free agent haul here, what do you think?
Well, like I said, I mean, I think they overpaid for it. I shouldn't even say that because everybody gets overpaid. I mean, let's be honest. In professional sports now, is there really anybody that's worth the money they're making when you break it down? There's probably a few guys, but, you know, overall it's a low percentage. Olivier Vernon's a nice player. They needed a guy that could put some pressure on a quarterback. We'll see what he does this year with the Giants. I love Harrison. Harrison's a big-time player. I think he's going to be very good for them. I think it was a good move bringing JPP back. I thought once JPP came back last year, I mean, you could see that he was still limited because of the hand, but he certainly was effective getting pressure on the quarterback. And you got to love the fact that he's a guy that took less money to stay with the Giants. You got to really like that from a guy. So I think that's a big deal. I think JPP is going to bounce back and have a real solid year this year for the Giants. Janoris Jenkins is a solid player. I didn't love Prince Amukamara. I think Amukamara was very overrated, always hurt. So I'm not surprised the Giants aren't bringing him back. But, you know, you should have a solid tandem now with Rogers, Cromartie, and Jenkins at the corner. We'll see about the safety position. But, look, it comes down to this for the Giants. They got a ton of cap space. They got all kinds of needs on the defense. And, you know, you got a general manager who's really under the gun right now. you know, as far as I'm concerned, if Coughlin was going to take the hit, Reese had to take the hit too. That's not the way the Giant management played it out. So there's a lot of pressure on Jerry Reese to get it done. And let's be honest, not just in free agency, but Reese, you know, you got the 10th overall pick in the draft. Reese has to hit a home run with this draft. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And he certainly has to hit a home run with the 10th pick in the draft.
Joe, give me a feel. You know how Harrison played in the middle between Wilkerson and Richardson and, of course, Leonard Williams. How do you think that Giants defensive line is going to shape up now with him in the middle with Jonathan Hankins, two big bodies, and then you have JPP and Vernon rushing off the edge?
It's going to be a huge help. Like I said, I mean, the Giants had a lot of trouble stopping the run last year. That should be completely different now. You know, that's going to make a huge difference right there. You shut that running game down, and that's just going to make it easier to get pressure on the quarterback when you know, hey, well, we can't run on you, and we know that you got to throw the football now. So I think he's going to make a major impact. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NFL, you know. And fortunately, we, you know, as a Jet fan, we got to appreciate him here for the last couple of years, and he's going to be missed. You know, to me, it was a mistake to lose this guy, but, you know, I get the fact that Jets have no money under the cap, and, you know, it is what it is. They couldn't compete with what the Giants could give him. So I think he's going to be a real solid player for the Giants. And I'll say this, too, and you know this now, John. In the NFL anymore, the NFL's a year-to-year sport. And when you look at the division the Giants are in, let's be honest, you got the quarterback, you got the best quarterback in that division. I don't know what Ben McAdoo is going to be as a head coach, but there's no reason the Giants, in a division that is one of the worst in football and still remains that, can't turn it around this year to win 10 or 11 games and win a division. I don't think that's out of the question at all. I really don't.
Final question, Joe. I'd be remiss. I have the legendary Joe Beningo on the phone, and I don't ask him about his early take on the Jets in free agency. I think this can be a good warm-up for your show coming up later on today. So why don't you give me, like, 2 minutes on your take on the Jets so far?
Well, we'll start with Fitzpatrick. You know what? Hey, you know what, Ryan? If you're such an ingrate that, you know that the best system you could be in, the best year you ever had in your career was last year here with this team, but you want, you gotta break the bank to go play for Denver or somebody else, you know what? Then don't let the door hit you in your rear end on the way out. You know, that's what I would say to him. He's a stopgap anyway. To me, he's not going to be as good as he was last year with the 31 touchdown passes. He's a guy that's had injury problems in the past. He was fortunate. He had that one injury to his left hand, which really didn't hurt him at all last year. He didn't miss a beat because of that, that game he got hurt against Oakland. To me, he will not have as good a year as he had last year. So I'm not breaking the bank for him. To me, it's much more important that they get Mo Wilkerson done on a long-term deal. It really is. And every time I turn around, all I hear is about how they want to trade this guy. It makes me delirious, you know, when I hear that. I mean, there isn't a lot of defensive tackles in football as good as this guy in a very key position. So that makes me crazy. You know, I'd even live with – you know what, bro? I'd live with Geno for a year. Rather than break the bank for Fitzpatrick, Geno's in his walk year of his contract. Not that I think he's any good, but really, seriously, how much do we still really know about this guy? He certainly has the physical ability, maybe not upstairs. But I'd live with him for a year rather than break the bank on Fitzpatrick if you tell me that, you know, down the road we're going to lose Muhammad Wilkerson. And as far as, you know, signing Matt Forte, very good player, no doubt about it. I realize that, you know, Ivory goes to the Jaguars. I got no problem with that. The only thing is I hate throwing money at a 30-year-old running back. I'll say that. That does concern me a little bit. Obviously, if Forte's healthy, he's a very good player. But we'll see. You know, right now I expect a downgrade unit. I expect them not to be as good next year as they were this past year. I really do.
Joe, go get them today. We appreciate the time.
John, always a pleasure, bro. Be well.
All right, Joe. Thanks, man.
So that was WFAN radio host Joe Beningo with John Schmelk talking about the latest Giants addition, Damon Snacks Harrison, as he moves over from the Jets to the Giants. We heard from Sam Madison earlier giving us some insight on Olivier Vernon as he covers the Dolphins. We're going to close out the program with a few more phone calls here at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. John has been very patient in Florida. John, what do you have for us?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Hi.
Hey, I'm actually from Melbourne, Florida, where Reggie Nelson played his high school ball out.
Okay, very nice.
Followed him throughout his career because he's a local kid. What do you think about him as the safety there to not only bring, he had a great year last year, but I think his experience would help a lot of those younger guys become leaders down the road for the Giants. And then secondly, in the draft, even though JPP looks so far so good and, you know, as a guy I hope is there for us with the uncertainty of how much he asked for next year if he has a monster year and the lack of depth behind it, you still think we go with a defensive end if there's a stud one left at the 10th pick?
All right, let me go defensive end. You go safety. I think as far as the Giants are concerned, at that 10th pick, I'll say it again, you got to pick a guy you think is a Pro Bowl caliber impact guy. And if it's a defensive end, and if they think that Shaq Lawson's the highest guy on the board at that spot, I got no problems taking him. You can never have enough pass rushers. Remember, the Giants' Super Bowl teams were built on the foundation that they had three rotating pass rushers at all times, whether or not it was Michael Strahan, O.C., Tuck, JPP, Kiwanuka. They always had at least three guys to rotate at that defensive end spot who quarterbacks had to be worried about. So I've got no problem at all if they take a pass rusher. And if it's Shaq Lawson, fine. If it's somebody else, if it's Dodd or someone else that they think can get to the QB, that's fine. I don't object to that whatsoever. In fact, I would seriously think about it. Doesn't mean I'd take it, but I would think about it. And that's about the best way I can answer it right now.
Yeah, I would certainly consider it, too. And I've said, even with what the Giants have done on the defensive line, I would not be surprised if they use that first-round pick on a defensive lineman, given the fact that depth is so important. In terms of your statement about Reggie Nelson, I mean, I think he'd be a good fit here, considering there's a young nucleus of safeties. But I still get back to, you know, from what the Giants front office has said around the combine, they have a lot of faith in some of these young guys and giving them opportunities. But Nelson would fit the bill. He'd be a nice complement to Landon Collins. You know, he reminds me a lot of that Antrell Roll type of personality, as well as veteran experience. So it makes sense to be on the opposite end of the spectrum from the youth of Landon Collins. I think the young guys can learn a lot from him. It depends, though, are the Giants of the mindset that they want that veteran, or do they feel letting that Burhey, Bennett Jackson, with full health, get back into the flow of the competition and just groom two young safeties for years to come? Right now, I think, at least from what I'm seeing and hearing, it may be more of a youth movement as opposed to a push to get a veteran safety.
I just give you one other variable. What does Nelson want? He's coming off of his first ever Pro Bowl year. He's been in the league a decade now, and his last two seasons have been his best. He went to Hawaii this past season. What's he looking for? You know, at age 32, does he want a three-year deal? Does he want a big signing bonus? You know, again, it takes two to tango. Remember that.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, John. Appreciate the phone call. And we talked about this off the top of the show. There are a few veteran safeties out there now that Tashaun Gibson and a few other players have either been re-signed or have changed teams. Eric Weddle, Reggie Nelson are the two veteran safeties that are out there that come to mind. But
and yet, versatility-wise, we discussed this the other day. We thought Walter Thurman might actually even be a better fit in terms of value.
Well, from an X's and O's standpoint, there's no argument there. I think Walter Thurman, the fact that he can also play the slot corner position makes a lot of sense because you're getting two positions out of one signing. And in this day and age, you need that versatility. But once again, you know, do the Giants view him as a corner? Do they view him as a reliable safety? Just because the Eagles moved him there, Paul, doesn't mean that every other team thinks that he's going to be a safety.
That's true.
These are the types of things that you need to at least take into consideration when evaluating a player. And that's what it comes down to. Well, certainly appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday at noon Eastern. Thanks to Sam Madison for calling out of the blue. We appreciate that, providing insight on Olivier Vernon. And thanks to Joe Beningo for having the time to sit down with John Schmelk. We'll continue to provide insight on free agency all throughout the rest of the week. You can continue to dial in as well as interact with us using hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. For Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Broken, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.